Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hutton O'Clock. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. It's noon on a Wednesday, which we affectionately call in this program Hutton O'Clock. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, joins us now. I will tee it up to you, Hutton. We heard from Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon. A ton of information and tidbits from them yesterday. What maybe stood out to you the most from what we heard from the Titans general manager and head coach?
Well, the head coach, just speaking on behalf of his experience with being in a spot where you can draft an offensive tackle or a wide receiver, you know, and he's referenced quite a bit his time in Denver with the four pack of receivers they had with Peyton Manning at quarterback, albeit Manning on the back end of his career, but they still went and won a Super Bowl. And the fact that all four receivers could get open in different ways in the moment. And then comparing that to Ja'Marr Chase and saying he's an all pro and everyone knew it in Cincinnati. Same thing with Penei Sewell. They knew he would be an all pro, instant starter, but beyond that. And the decision to go with the receiver over the tackle because the receiver scores points. That's number one. Number two, let me do a 1B. 1B is he doesn't control the roster. We're going to talk about what the other guys said. It sounds like, and I don't disagree with it. I mean, with seven picks, but only three picks in the first, second, and then fourth round, you're looking around going, okay, what do we do to gain draft collateral, to get some ammunition here to go and actually improve this roster now through the draft, get young players who are going to start? You don't do that typically beyond the fourth round. And Caroline, I'm sitting here going, well, the biggest draft capital you have is pick number seven. And if for whatever reason, I'm not saying it will happen, I don't think it will. For whatever reason, if the tackles go a little high, two of them go higher than seven or whatever, and a quarterback falls to you, you're sitting on a great spot there to trade back and gain more capital. I think that it's smart by Carthon to say, hey, give us a call if you're interested in seven.
Yeah.
And see what happens, because right now you're going to spend a lot of money in free agency. You don't have many young players coming in, and typically that's not the best way to go and fill a roster. This isn't Colorado Buffalo's football. You have to build through the guys coming in, not the guys that are already in the league.
And I'm with you on what Rand Carthon said about the seventh overall pick. Essentially said, look, I like seven. I'm not married to seven. I'll pick up the phone about seven if you've got something to offer. Jonathan Hutton is with us. You bring up receiver. I feel like the overwhelming sentiment from what Rand Carthon had to say yesterday, he was talking about getting faster, about how fast the Miami Dolphins were, about stretching the field of, look, you know, if the receiver's at seven, this is a deep offensive line class. It seemed like all signs pointed toward receiver at seven. But I think we all know, one, the Titans probably don't know what they're going to do. And two, if they say something in February, they might not necessarily mean it. But what did you make about the receiver talk yesterday?
No, I agree. I mean, so last week we were discussing, I would go receiver early and try to load up and pay an offensive lineman with heavy money that has proven that he's that guy. Now, there's not a great list of who's who at offensive tackle, like compared to some of the names that have been thrown out there the last couple of years. So I understand if you want to go young, and you can build young next to Peter Skoronski and with your quarterback, and you've got a great core there. But this is the time with a rookie quarterback and a rookie salary to load up at a spot that is premium. And you take advantage of the fact that your quarterback's not eating up a huge majority of your cap whenever you have to be below it at a certain time. And you can give the guaranteed money there until you have to pay the QB if he pans out. So I would do that. I would also draft young at receiver because that generally hits, you know, that generally works out. At the high point of the draft, not every one of them, but it's hitting a great deal more than what I remember it hitting in the first round of drafts of 20 years ago. D-Mace, you can speak to that too. But you know, the top end guys generally are used like that. And look, point being, give me a receiver that is going to come in and play well and hit, and you give him the football. I think this coach, pass oriented, is going to do that. Vrabel also talked about getting faster. John Robinson also talked about getting faster. I saw last year's draft, they were laughing whenever they took a running back and everyone thought they were going to address receiver. in the draft room. So, yes, you're right. It is. It's line season. It's always line season in the NFL. And this is also coming off of a 2 years ago where they said Vrabel said he that A.J. Brown wasn't going anywhere, and then we saw what happened draft night. So
and Brian Callahan told us yesterday that he hasn't looked at the college tape. Like, okay.
Of course. Of course he has. Of course he has. But, hey, all that's good. All that's fair because every team's doing it. Right. I would just say they want options at seven, including people picking up the phone and calling them because there are more quarterback needy teams than just the top three teams. And who knows if those top three teams are going to end up staying where they are.
Yeah, you're right, Jonathan. I mean, this time of season, and we talked about this yesterday, you know, you could look at it, you know, several different ways. You could look at it and take it 100% and say, well, Brian is saying they're going for a pass catcher, or you can say Rand said they're going for a tackle, or they can possibly move down in a draft. You know, I think right now, they are it's sort of like a cloak and dagger. You believe half of what they say. And sure. I think you start to believe more of it as free agency starts to, you know, come up. And what
right.
they do in free agency, I think, will be a telltale sign of what they could potentially do in the draft. Because if they go out and they address some of these issues, whether it be the cornerback or the receiver, I don't think there's a tackle out there that they can get. Because, again, Rand said, hey, listen, good tackles either, you know, if they get released or on the market, it's because one, they make too much money, or two, they probably can't play as well as you may think. If you have your tackle, you're going to keep that guy and you're going to sign him to a long-term deal. So
yes.
To me, it's what does the Tennessee Titans do in free agency? And then I'm going to reevaluate it and look at what they could potentially do in the draft.
Yeah, and also if you the only other way that you have the tackle hit the market is something like Orlando Brown,
yeah.
you know, or Orlando Brown Jr. And what happened there. But also, Mace, you know, unless you're paying a quarterback and a wide receiver at the same time, I'm just thinking about Minnesota, somewhere else that I don't know about their line situation off the top of my head. That's just an example where you have to pay some. But also the cap going up more than what it was expected to, at least from the outside looking in. I'm sure the cap people and internally got a glimpse of that earlier than what we did. That changes some things. And we don't know what the franchise tag is going to look like. Mm-hmm. I just like knowing that the receiver and quarterback are paired together for a certain amount of time, the allotment. We know that you have Levis with D-Hop for another year, right? Who knows? We got into the other wide receivers last week. I'm just the premier wideout with the rookie quarterback on the rookie salary, I should say. I like that. And that's a model that this head coach has been in. And it's also a model that certainly Carthon has seen from San Francisco with the different wide receivers slash not gadget players, but I guess they are gadget players that they brought in, different types of guys, including high-end guys. But they've also invested on their offensive line. You have to protect the QB. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to do better in free agency. They paid some money to players that were backups to play on their offensive line last year. It doesn't have to be the premier guy. And I also should factor in the fact that they have Bill Callahan coaching them. So if he's signing off on a guy that doesn't seem to be that type of dude in the draft or in free agency, to me, that's a high mark that I'm willing to bring him in, make sure he's in this locker room, and allow the best offensive line coach to go out and be the best offensive line coach with him.
Now, what do you make of what Brian Callahan said about Treylon Burks and about the tight ends? Because when I asked him specifically about Chig and Wiley, he seemed like a kid in a candy store with those two guys. It seems
yes.
like he really loves what he sees out of that tandem of tight ends.
Mace, they're versatile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I think that's the if you're an offensive guy and you've got players in this league, which is so specialized, that can go out and do different things. Yeah, I mean, I look at Chig Okonkwo and think he can do a lot. He can line up a lot of different areas, and then I mean. Kelly was using him in different areas last year. So, yeah, and of course, you've got a special teams guy in Wiley that can also play on offense. How versatile is Treylon Burks to you?
I think Treylon Burks is as versatile as he wants to be. I think he play inside, outside. I think he could do the bubble
screen. Is he an outside guy?
Yeah, I think he is. He needs to learn how to be more physical. I think sometimes these guys that have bigger bodies, they want to play this sort of basketball game. And maybe your body and your agility, not to say he's not agile, but your agility doesn't warrant that. I would always tell big guys, man, I wish I was 6'4", 6'3". Use that 6'4", 6'3" body and just overpower people. Because if you do it too many, if you do it enough, they're not going to, and I promise you this, they're not going to want to press you anymore. If you establish a physicality, you look at all the guys, Terrell Owens, Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald. They didn't want to press them. Why? Because of the physicality. DK Metcalf. You don't want to press him. Why? Because of the physicality. You 6'3", 6'4", play like you 6'3", 6'4".
I love spitballing this because we're back in the Treylon Burks, but I think he's a crucial piece. They have to have him take a big step. Why? So we saw that at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. We saw him do that at Arkansas. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. I'm trying to learn why it's such a struggle beyond just out of shape and whatever. How much are the hashes factoring in here where he can run, get physical, get open with the field? They can use him with the, KJ Jefferson rolling. Mm-hmm. In the NFL, the college has played sideline to sideline. NFL is that way too, but it's really down the middle of the field based on where the hash marks are. Mm-hmm. That's why the game is so sped up for the quarterback. How much of that is difficult for a physical receiver to come in the way he was used at Arkansas, get him to the open field and let him beat one guy different for him?
I know. I'm not sure. There's going to be that adjustment period for every receiver, I think.
That bothers me though. If he's still struggling going into year three.
Well, you got to understand too, Hutt. He's been off and on the field. He hasn't really got himself into a rhythm for whatever reason. He hasn't gotten himself into a rhythm of being out there consistently, and then being the number one guy, being targeted, being a part of the game plan. Honestly, I think last year there were a lot of times that I didn't believe that he was a Vrabel guy. So if you're not a head coach's guy, especially in that system with him as head coach, you're not going to get many opportunities. He's not.
I mean, he didn't get opportunities in week one.
Yeah.
They were throwing the football to Hopkins, and that was it. And they threw the football against the Saints 40 times on purpose. It's just, and he made some catches in that game. But I mean, again, like I'm with you, man. It's a head scratcher because now we find out he's got a reset. He has an offensive coach that wants to throw the football a lot. I mean, he starts with answering his offensive philosophy with, the pass game and mentions three aspects of it, including efficiency and getting the ball out fast. It's time to see what he's got. And I agree. They have to view him as an asset because they don't have many options in regards to what they want to do and build other positions up. It's, by the way, you mentioned three positions: wide receiver, offensive line, and corner. It's a good year for the top 100 at all three spots. And the Titans, they've got two crucial picks in the first and second round, and then that fourth rounder, if they can move up or move around, that'll be the area that they do it.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. So, Hutton, you got me thinking here with the tight ends, and I guess I had not really heard him talk about this. Maybe he has. But I'm talking about Callahan.
Yeah.
How does he like to use the tight ends in his system? Because we're used to, in this market, in the Derrick Henry era, if they're not using flat out a fullback, they were using two tight ends a higher percentage of the time than a lot of teams. So what's Callahan's way? Because that plays into the question of Wiley and Okonkwo, because we know I don't know if either one of those guys is the prototypical blocking tight end, but maybe they're not asked to block as much in this system.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in this right now with this personnel, Willie, if you're just watching film of your team, you're 12 personnel, right?
Yeah.
You're going
one
too
back,
tight
two tight ends. Yeah.
Just because of the depth at receiver currently. Again, just evaluating this team right now. So I would be high on the tight ends. We spoke on Chigakonkwo throughout the season as, where has he been? And then we saw a gradual uptick in what we were seeing. He was going through some drop issues, catching the football. No, I think he's the talent everyone should be excited about in the building if you're just coming in. And from Wiley's standpoint, it's the size, it's the length, it's the ability. If you watch his highlights at Cincy, it's the ability to go and get the football. Titans don't have many receivers like that. So, I would treat them – I think they're viewing through the lens of – especially Callahan – viewing them through the lens of receivers more than blockers. And that's another factor that hopefully Treylon Burks buys into, just tying back to the mentality of wide receiver in the Titans offense. It's now reversed. It's flipped.
Yeah.
They're going to talk about blocking, but it's going to be pretty – it's going to be down the list of requirements. You've got to bring it, but it's not item zero at the top of the list for what you want and qualify to be a Tennessee Titans wide receiver in this offense anymore. That should energize all these guys because it's not banging hats as much as it is getting open and running with the football.
I'll be curious what the run-pass balance is in this offense compared to what we've seen before. But presuming that Derrick Henry is not back, which I've heard absolutely nothing that would indicate to me that
I don't think he is.
He's coming. Yeah. So this is a new era. So is it going to be based on the league average? Like they've run well above the league average most years over the last, what, 5, 6, 7 years. So what's
they're
it
one
be
of those
teams
that invests. Yeah. Right.
And I do think if you're going to be running more 12 personnel, if you're going to be running more two tight ends, or if you're going to be running two tight end sets in general, you probably need another tight end, no?
Yes. You're going Brock Bowers there. Brock Bowers, though, would also be viewed as a receiver. I'm not drafting Brock Bowers to be a traditional tight end. A traditional tight end now is Kelce, Kittle. No one talks about their blocking. They're physical. They can. I mean, you have to. But no one's talking about, oh, look at the block he set for this guy. No, yeah. You're putting the football in their hands, and that's why you'd be drafting Bowers there too. And let me say, when I say they invest, they're one of the teams, I'm going back to Willie, they're one of the teams that invests in running backs. There's a litany that they're going to have another Zoom call and complain about their pay again this offseason, I bet, because there's a
guaranteed
big group of veterans, and nothing will come of it. There's a big group of running backs again this year, and if you're just in the past – if you're just making a list of here are the teams who actually want to pay running back, it was the Titans. It can't be anymore based on the philosophy and how they describe this offense. That's why Henry's not coming back. Now, why would he want to be back? Why would he want to be back in this offense, right?
I mean, it's a fair point. Jonathan Hutton is with us, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, I heard PK talking about this morning when he was with Robbie and Joe, that Ran Carthon and Brian Callahan are coming back from Indianapolis for the groundbreaking ceremony and are going to be doing the rest of the interviews on Zoom. Do you have a problem with that?
No. But Chad Brinker's there, correct?
I know that Anthony Robinson is there.
Then Chad Brinker's going to be there. So Anthony Robinson will be below. If we're just doing the tree, he's on the side of Ran Carthon. Uh-huh. And Brinker is, if you're just doing the job description, Brinker's there too.
Right now, Sean McVay. By the way, the Rams have been drafting great, third round and below. Screw these picks or whatever they said. They've been drafting guys in the first round. They don't have to, but they draft the right guys. McVay's not at the combine. Period. Mm-hmm. He didn't go. There's other coaches that aren't going. So they got their staff together. Brinker's there. It's also the trend that you all of a sudden you've never called plays and you're a head coach calling plays, especially off the McVay tree. Based on what the teams who win are doing, the Titans haven't been doing that lately. It's clear to me, though, that Brinker, in regards to whatever they're doing at the Senior Bowl, he was there, mm-hmm. and whatever they're doing at the Combine, they went. They discussed some things with players they wanted to discuss, and now they're going back for the groundbreaking. They could also go back if they wanted to. It's not that far of a drive or a quick little Amy Adams Strunk jet tour of northern Tennessee and southern Kentucky. it's not that bad. And my guess is if there's one or two players that they want to talk to and pinpoint, they've got the seventh pick, and they can already bring in guys that they can really grill at the facility or at their pro day.
Jonathan,
I would be there, by the way. I would be there.
Yeah, and I look at that. You know, I know Sean McVay isn't there. I know Kyle Shanahan isn't there. I know Robert Saleh isn't there. Mike McCarthy isn't there. But are those teams winning because they're not going to the combine?
No, they're winning because they're drafting well.
And they're winning because they have drafting well and the quarterbacks, at least as far as some of them are concerned.
Yeah, right. But they're also bringing in players. They kind of know what they're doing, but also they're drafting high, so that they have.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the Jets and others. They kind of know what they need. Jets need an offensive lineman, right? They need to boost their offensive lineman for Aaron Rodgers. They're all in with him, different circumstances. But the combine is more about medical, and the one-on-one interviews. You can interview literally anybody, anytime. There's no restrictions at the Senior Bowl. There are restrictions, 15 minutes or whatever, at the combine, and you can bring guys in. You can go to the pro days. You can send scouts out. You can Zoom all the time. There are different ways to learn the player. And I mean, these guys are so scripted through their agents now. It's really tough to figure out who you're getting when they walk through the door in that amount of time. You can't grill them on the X's and O's, and you can't really pinpoint, okay, what happened off the field here in this incident, because then the bell rings and you're off to the safety dance where the other guy comes in the room.
Jonathan,
I would still be there.
Right. Yeah, I hear you. And I know that they all get the training, the media training, the interview training, but still, you don't get that many opportunities.
Can I also say, if it's about coming back for the groundbreaking, they were told to for the photo op?
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't think that was their decision.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think they care too much about these big scissors.
Yeah, that came from up above.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't want to judge the sole decision on Rand Carthon choosing not to do it or whatever. But yeah, I mean, these guys, their livelihood is centered around ball, not about construction. But it's a big moment in the franchise, and there's a photo to be done, and they're back in Nashville. They're doing their job.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutt, appreciate you as always, and we'll chat next week.
Yeah, always enjoy this. Have a great rest of the week, guys.
All right, thanks, Hutton. You're the best. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. We'll react to what Jonathan Hutton had to say coming up next, plus new NFLPA report card. How did the Titans do? We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your phones. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, DeMays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.